Hello, and welcome to Getting to Know Your Friends. I'm your host, Zach Rowland, and tonight we have my friend, Bess Hales. Hey,
hello,
Bess.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Well, thanks for coming.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah, awesome. So we're going to get to know you a little bit more. We've become friends through this wonderful thing that we do called improv, and there's so much more that I can't wait to get to know about you. So let's just get started off, huh?
Sure, why not?
Cool. All right, so where do you come from? Where is the place of birth for Bess?
This, here.
Here?
Well, North Kansas City Hospital is where
North
I was
Kansas
born.
City Hospital, all
which
right.
Which is where my children were born, actually.
Oh, wow. Was that kind of like a thing that you, when you thought about that, you wanted it to be that way, or?
Not really. My OBGYN, that's where she delivered, and I loved her so much, so I just decided to deliver my babies there, too.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. So it was North Kansas City Hospital. Did you live in North KC, or were you, what part of the city are you from?
I lived in Liberty until I was about 4, when my mom married my stepdad, moved me to Raytown.
Okay.
Represent.
Yeah, Raytown.
Graduated from Raytown High School, went to school in Columbia, and then...
At Mizzou?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
And then came back, and I lived a year in France, and, well, when I was at Mizzou, and then I...
Study abroad?
Here.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So you were in Raytown for high school. And what was that like? What did you do? Did you get into clubs? What kind of person were you? I like to start off at high school because I feel like most of the things prior to that, really,
No,
we're
middle
kids.
School sucks.
Middle school was terrible.
Middle
I hated
awful.
Middle school.
Yeah.
Let's do high school. It's the times where we remember the most. You know, it's like, yeah.
I was what I like to call queen of the dorks.
Queen of the dorks.
Yes. I was like the president of Key Club.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain for people who
don't
know?
Key Club is a high school level service organization that's sponsored by Kiwanis. So like Kiwanis, Key Club, Builders Club. And then there's Circle K and University, but I was not nerdy enough to do that.
Oh, wow. It's a lot of levels.
Yeah.
Kind of seems like the Freemasons.
Kind of.
They're a little bit, but they're not a secret. They try to help people out.
No.
Yeah.
And they like to sing at their meetings.
Yeah.
Which is always my favorite.
Cool. Awesome.
So I did that. I did National Honor Society, French Club. I was a debater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go to any tournaments?
Yes.
Any trophies? I mean,
what was
your, you had a debate team?
Because
I never did debate. We did.
You missed out.
I really feel like that.
Yeah.
We never had forensics or debate. Well, we did, but it was a very small program and I didn't get into it. And so I did theater and drama. So I was doing monologues and scenes.
Yeah.
You know, but it's similar but different. So what was the debate lifestyle like?
It was a lot of research, and then the thing that I think that it should be almost mandatory for high school kids, or at least Americans, let's say citizens, because what it taught me is how to look at both sides of an argument, and not be able to say, like, this is black, abortion is wrong, let's talk about abortion, abortion is right, you know, like, there's so many nuances in there that you can never say, like, oh, I'm like this, but so many discussions nowadays or arguments are like, guns are bad, guns are good,
right.
And there's no give and take, and for politics to work, there has to be a give and take, there has to be like, oh, well, maybe you're right about that, even though I'm a Republican, maybe I can...
So debate gave you like that skill set to really kind of figure all that stuff out.
Yeah.
I love that because I feel like that really helped me too when I was working through drama and thinking about the world and the point of view of the world and like how one-sided it can be often, you know? But when you put yourself into somebody else's shoes and you do the research, you're like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think every American should be mandated to do something similar to some sort of like debate, research, study.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Although Facebook would be much more boring if we had to do that.
That's so true. So we need to just discover some sort of like social media concept where everybody has to constantly be researching and debating.
Yeah.
Research, debate.
Yeah.
Cool. So Mizzou. Then, did you continue on that path with the debate, or where, you know, you talked about you did French studying abroad.
Yeah.
So what was college like? Tell us some stories. I mean, who were you by the time you got to college?
Gee. I didn't really know who I was when I went to college. The weird story is that, okay, queen of the nerds in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I decided that I was going to break away. I wanted to be somebody new. Place me with somebody randomly. I will just pick a random roommate. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I got placed with a woman who was like really granola-y and nutty and natural and a lesbian and all this stuff. And I was like, that'll be great. I'll just be, you know, totally different experience.
Yeah.
Well, I was flying back from my senior trip to Brazil, anyways. And my mom called me and she said, your roommate just called. And I said, oh, really? She called? I can't even remember her name at this point. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, her name's Monica. I said, what? Yeah, Monica. And she told me her last name. And it turns out that it was one of the popular kids from high school.
No way.
That we were randomly.
No way.
Yes. And I was like, I cried in the airport. I was jet lagged. I was sobbing like, this is going to be the worst experience ever. I was trying to get away from these people. And, well, we're best friends, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
Turned out, okay, she was not as bitchy as I thought she was.
Sure, sometimes you have to get people out of that, like, weird social environment where they feel like they have to act a certain way, and absolutely, it's incredible how people act around you when they're not with friends or people they're trying to impress or whatever it is. That's great. I love that. Two twists in that story. I didn't see it coming. Oh, not at all, because I did the whole randomize me thing too.
Yeah.
And oh gosh, it turned out to be a horrible experience. So I'm glad it worked out for you. That's really great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Cool. So and you graduated with a degree?
Oh yeah, international business. I was thinking when I went in that I was going to do like political science, public service kind of. I wanted to be like a speech writer. I wanted to get into politics. So I did some volunteering. And then actually one of my mentors from church got into politics and turned into a real asshole.
Oh.
And so just seeing him like go from this really powerful, godly man.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to use the word godly. It sounds very Baptist.
I get you. Yeah.
So, but we're not. Man. Yes, whatever. And yeah, then he turned into like this smoozer that every time he would meet me like, run for office, that kind of guy. And so I quit that. And
absolute power corrupts,
then I was like,
right?
What do I want to do? I don't know. And I liked French, and I was like, meh, business, meh.
So tell us about France.
France?
Yeah. I've never been there. I want to travel to Europe so bad, and I'm a big traveler. I love it. So give us the good stuff.
Well, I probably split my time between Paris and Lyon, which is the second largest city in France. It's like in the south, kind of close to the mountains, but not really in the mountains, but beautiful city, university city. There's like so many universities in Lyon.
I'm actually familiar with it because I had an acting teacher whose last name was Lyon, and that's why, and it was just incredible. And so that's really funny. Yeah. Cool.
So I split time between Paris and there, and, did not travel nearly as much as I should have, considering I was like 45 minutes away from Italy and I never went there. I went to Switzerland, I went to Spain, but I didn't, and oddly enough went to Australia, but I didn't go to like Germany or Poland or anything like that, which was lame.
Can I ask when this was?
It just turned 21. It was 2000 to 2001.
Okay, cool, cool. Yeah. So that gives me a time frame of like what was going on socially at the time, because it had been, you know, like early 90s.
Yeah, we
or
were
something.
Not, I mean, hated Americans. Yeah. We were just kind of despised Americans.
Yeah, well, and at that point, too, that was almost the turning point for the world. I feel like when everybody turned against the Middle East, like hardcore turned against the Middle East because of the attacks and everything.
Attacks hadn't quite happened. They happened in September, so I got back beginning of June.
Okay.
So it
was right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So that there wasn't that quite united worldness, but you could sense that there was less hate for the American people, and I gotcha.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, that was the stereotype, right? I mean, that was the thing. Like,
and kind of, but I feel like it's like going to New York City. Mm-hmm. For a foreigner to go to New York City and say, all Americans are rude. That's just not the case.
Not the comparison you want to make.
And so it's the same thing. People go to Paris and they're like, oh, French people are rude. Well, you know what? You try dealing with tourists day in, day out when you're just trying to go get your coffee.
Right. They live there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're there for a couple of days to, you know, a week or so. So,
yeah
I agree. That's really true. That's why I always try to be very polite and accommodating to anything when I'm traveling, and I don't try to lose my patience with anybody, because it's like, they have to deal with so much already. You know, like anybody who's in a touristy area, like, yeah, just don't want to deal with it.
Quick story, too.
Yeah, I love stories.
So I was in the airport. I can't remember if this was when I was coming or when we were going to Australia, mm-hmm, or what, but we were in the airport. And I saw a guy come off a flight from America, surprise, surprise, wearing his cowboy hat, his Western wear button-up.
Yeah.
With a big old belt buckle with the American flag on it.
Yeah.
And his boots. And he was of the age that I could just tell that he was going to say, "We saved your ass in World War II. You owe us." I mean, he was just like,
Get out.
I own this fucking country. And I just... That's what I tell kids when they're like, "Oh, French people hate Americans." I'm like, well, you have to see, this is kind of what they deal with. They deal with people like this that are saying, "You owe us for World War II."
Yeah, right? That war that happened such a long time ago that since then we haven't done much else other than kind of like, you know, piddle around in the world and stick our noses where we shouldn't.
And the French helped us during the American Revolution.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No, I love France. I think France is such a great place. The culture there, the livelihood, just the general ambiance. I mean, yeah. I wonder what I'm still doing in this country. But that's for another day. Cool. So then you said you didn't really know what you wanted to do because this guy you had known kind of went this weird way with life. So where did that lead you to?
International business, just because it was, I could still do my French, and it was kind of the new thing.
Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah.
This big thing with international business coming up, yeah.
And I could get 2 degrees for the price of one. Took me one extra semester. And so I was like, okay, I'll do that. My plan was to move to New York with my buddy, who's still there.
Good for him.
Yes. Yeah. Making a life in New York City in the entertainment industry, so you can do it.
Good.
But I didn't have the balls to get up and move.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just applying online all day long, and they're not going to call you back.
Yep.
So I got a job here, working at a phone bank, answering phones that could or could not have been French-speaking. It was just kind of like, American, French, American, we don't
know. Press 2 for French.
Yeah.
Wait a second, when did that become a thing?
It was coming from Canada.
Yeah.
And I did that for a while, and customer service is not the place for me, so...
Why not? Just not...
Customer service, like, corporate world is bad enough, but customer service is like the shit on the bottom of the corporate feet, and so I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I think I survived 3 or 4 layoffs in 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I was like, I don't want to do this. So then I really liked HR, because I'm a people helper, and so I went and I did that for a while, and that just was soul-sucking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. I never ventured into any of that world. So for me, like, layoffs and, like, corporate jobs, cubicles, I don't understand that. I've always been kind of an artsy-fartsy kind of guy, and I've worked in a service industry thing, and yeah, like, oh, it's so... It seems so stressful. I mean...
Mine was not stressful. The thing that... Well, besides the major thing that got me out of it, the thing that pissed me off was like, okay, you're going to pay me to be here for 8 hours. You've got this job that you want me to do. I can finish it in 2 hours and sit here and read a book for 6 hours, but no. You have to look busy. That was the stressful part.
Oh,
like,
looking busy.
I am not, this is not me. I want to get my shit done and then be done.
Yeah.
I'm doing a great job, you know. If you have problems with it, I'd be happy to help you elsewhere, but...
Efficiency.
Yeah. I don't like that at all.
Yeah. No, I know that same thing. I don't like that even, and that's a similar thing with like a service industry worker.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sometimes you can get a lot of the projects that you have to get done, but then you have to look busy because you're there. And it's just like, no, you should, there should always be a purpose to what you're doing. And it's really weird how we try to just fill our time with mundane things that don't make sense. Yeah. Well, but that's not where you went.
No.
Fully, though. You didn't stop there.
No, I didn't stop there. No. So I was working at this job, and I hated it, and I wanted to just drive off a bridge. Like, one of those where you want to call in every day because you just hate it that bad.
Yeah.
And so I met a guy, and I got knocked up. No, everybody
scandalous
knows.
Scandalous people.
Everybody knows except for my kids, so they are not allowed to...
Mom and Dad.
So that was a perfect opportunity to quit and be a stay-at-home mom for a while. And I went back to school, and now I'm a teacher.
Yeah. Groovy. Where did you get your degree from?
Rockhurst.
Rockhurst. Cool. Yep. Yeah, I was right across the street at UMKC.
Yep, yep.
And I got my teaching degree from that institution, so.
Yep.
Yeah. And so now you're teaching?
Now I'm teaching French, high school French.
Where at?
Lee Summit High School.
Lee Summit High School. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Yep. How's it going?
It's great. It's my seventh year teaching. My first year, just finished my first year at Lee Summit High School. And it's fantastic. I love it, love it, love it, love it.
What about that is what keeps you going back every day? Since you said you hated the call service job, or the customer service job.
I am in charge of my classroom. And it's kind of like, it sounds really egotistical, but it's kind of like my stage. It's the best show, and I run
absolutely
it.
Right.
And so, like, I just get to be as goofy and as stupid as I possibly want to be, and the kids either eat it up or they think I'm really irritating, which, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You and I think, have a very similar teaching style, because that's exactly what I would do, to the extent to where the kids would either just be like, oh my gosh, this is what weirdest thing I've ever seen, or like, I'm not going to put up with your weirdo stuff today. I'm an adolescent, and I just have to be here. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Kids.
Stupid.
Yeah. Oh gosh, working with kids. It's so rewarding and so frustrating at the same time, because those glory moments, you know, they're like, this is what life is made of.
Yep.
These moments where I'm just connecting with these people, and then there's other times where you're just like, you need to get away from me because you don't even know what you're saying right now.
When I pull out the mom voice, that's the worst. Like, I hate it when my
Can you give us a story?
Oh gosh, I don't even. There's not even like really a story. It's just, you know, if they're just really, this kid, he would just always get out his cell phone every day, every day, every day, every. To the point where by the end of the year, I just let him. I'm like, I don't even care. You're not taking French next year. You're done with me. I'm done with you. You just whatever. You sit in the back and you text all you want to. I don't care.
Yeah.
But it would go when I was still trying. I would just be like, put your phone away. He'd be like, put your phone away, and you pull out the. I said, that's not me in the classroom.
No.
I was like, why are you making me be like this? I'm fun, goofy madame, and here you're making me be mom. I hate that.
Disciplinarian, that role is, I never wanted to play that role.
Mm-mm.
I did not like it. Because I got disciplined when I was younger for being myself. And I was like, what? I don't want to do that to kids. But if you're not, if you're blatantly not doing it, like, come on, kid, like, you see everybody else.
Yeah.
Why
work
do you gotta
with
be
me.
That?
Just will work with me.
Give and take, right? Mm-hmm. Black and white, right?
Yeah.
You know? Crazy. So you've been doing that for 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a family.
Yes.
Okay. How? What all does the family consist of? How many of you are there?
Well, I have my wonderful husband who made the right choice in knocking me up.
Yeah. Hey! Job almost. Well done.
Yes. Good job, Joe. Almost 10 years we've been married, so it does work out. And we have 5 children. I hate to say 2 stepdaughters, because I don't like to make the distinction, but people are always like, oh, you don't look like you're that old. Okay, I'm not really, whatever.
Yeah.
So I have
a young mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a 14-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep up?
I let a lot of stuff slide.
Ooh.
And I don't clean my house very often.
But at what point, really, can you? I mean, like, you're dealing with the chaos and everything that's going on with their lives, plus your life and your husband's life. It's like,
whatever.
Yeah. Eventually it'll get done.
Yeah.
Or somebody will get annoyed with some sort of thing, some sort of spill. No, that's all right. That's funny. I remember my mom being so particular about our house. Like, we'd have guests over, and she would be like, oh, I have to clean. But my mom, it's clean in here. Like, there's nothing out of place. And she's like, no, there's always something to clean. I did not take on that trait from my mother.
Me either. My mom was very OCD about it. Like, we cleaned the house full clean, top to bottom, twice a week, and then she swept and vacuumed every day.
Get out. Stay-at-home mom?
For a while, yeah.
For a while?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's, I almost feel like it's like they have nothing better to do or whatever it is. I don't
she
know.
Dragged us into it. I don't think that's fair.
No, not at all. But Mom, stop dragging your kids into chores and cleaning. We don't want it anymore, all right? Let's start a little kid revolution. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. All right, well, I'm going to do something real quick that I call the lightning round.
Okay.
I'm just going to rapid fire some questions at you. They may or may not make any sense.
Okay.
It's going to be fun, and you just kind of respond how you want to respond. All right, you ready?
Yes.
Favorite color?
Green.
Green. Disney World or Disneyland?
Disney World, I guess.
Disney World.
I've never been to Disneyland.
Favorite ocean?
The Gulf of Mexico, which is not an ocean.
It's okay. It's part of the bigger ocean, so it's all right. Favorite bird?
Owl,
nice. I like it. Yeah, yeah. The holiday you look forward to the least?
Halloween.
Interesting. I'm gonna follow up. Why?
Because there's like costumes and like all this candy, and then the kids want to eat all the candy. Mm-hmm. But if you let them eat all the candy, then they'll be bouncing off the walls, and then they'll rip up something, and then you have to like. No, you can't have candy now. And then there's candy in your house for like a month. And it's just, no.
No. Mm-mm. No candy.
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. Fair enough. Let's see here. Wood or metal?
Wood.
I love your reaction to that. Like, in what context?
Yeah.
Drink of choice?
Beer.
Beer. Follow up. What specifically?
Oh, I'm going to go with IPA right now.
Really. Everybody's digging the
IPA. I can't stop it.
I bought IPA last night. I got the Storm Chaser from Free State Brewery.
Yeah.
I can't help it, guys. It's the IPA.
The Sessions IPAs that are coming out lately are so
great.
Delicious.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you fruit any of your beers?
No.
No. Of course not. Why would you? It's the, yeah. Good answer. Mm-hmm. This could have been disastrous.
Yeah, we could have just
you
been
had
like,
the wrong
the
answer.
End.
Yeah, it would have been okay, guys. That was a disaster. Yeah, great job. Favorite pop star?
NSYNC?
Yeah, sure. The whole getup. The whole NSYNC getup. Yeah,
all
yeah,
of
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
Saw Joy Fatone in Rent. On Broadway.
Get out!
He did.
How was it?
It was
how
great.
Was he?
Of course. Yeah.
Rent is my favorite musical.
So good.
So, and he was good?
He was good.
Good.
Yeah.
Where was it at? It was in New York?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Broadway, of course. There's so many other Broadways. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know you were in Vegas recently, too, so I guess I was thinking.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. All right. And the last question. Favorite time of day?
3:00 in the afternoon.
Ooh. Why so?
Because the work is done and it's time to either take a nap,
mm-hmm,
or like relax.
Yeah.
Kids might be sleeping.
Nap time. I mm-hmm love it. Yeah. I almost took a nap today at
yeah
about that time. I was like, I'm gliding into nap zone.
Yeah, I love naps.
Cool. Thank you. Thanks for doing the lightning round. That's good. Excellent. So, let's talk about a little bit of improv.
Okay.
My gosh, I can't believe we've avoided it for this long, guys. We actually did it.
It's because I'm so old and I have so much experience to talk about.
I love it, though. I get it. I get it. I want people to talk about all that experience. So, so what brought you to improv?
I was at a conference, a teaching conference, mm-hmm, and they had one that was just like on improv games for teachers, and yeah, I teach foreign language, and so it was kind of geared towards foreign language teachers, but not really, because it wasn't anything that you would really do with students,
mm-hmm,
and I was just really intrigued, and then there was a Groupon.
The Groupon. I
yes
remember the Groupon.
Yes.
This was the major influx when we really got a lot of good people to come in and take
yep
classes when I was teaching with KCIC.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I got the Groupon. I couldn't take the Monday night classes, so I went to the Saturday classes with Adam,
mm-hmm,
which was awesome.
Adam Helsher.
Mm-hmm.
And do a little representing.
Yep. Got me yeah got me fired up.
Yeah.
And then I took the level one with Brandy.
Cool. Another one of my after school special mm-hmm comrades. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love Brandy.
Yep. And then just met a bunch of people. And then you guys were doing the Wednesday night house party, the real house party.
Yeah.
Like, really come to my house.
We were.
Have a house party.
We did a couple of those at Christian and Julie's place mm-hmm. where we did shows in a living room.
Yeah.
At a house. And that was a lot of fun. Of those were, I really think, some of the best early raw work that you guys were doing before you really like started to develop what became Disappointing Birthday Party.
Disappointing Birthday Party.
Right.
Yeah. So they were all like, everybody needs to start a group. And we just kind of, Bobby and I looked at each other like, what do you think? And boom.
Bobby McCoskey, who has been a guest on the show.
Yes.
Absolutely. So everybody in Disappointing Birthday Party, you.
Yes.
Bobby McCoskey.
Yes. Chris.
Chris Fiedler.
Fiedler, is that how
I say it? Yep. Fiedler? I hope I didn't say it wrong.
I think it is Fiedler.
I think
I'm sorry, Chris.
We're sorry, Chris. I hope I said your name right when we recorded your episode.
I'm sure you did.
Suck at names, guys. Let's just get it out there right now. Chris?
Yes.
Okay.
And then Sydney Ragsdale. And RC.
RC Shivers.
Shivers.
Yeah. That's everybody?
And me.
And you.
There's six. Three boys, three girls.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you guys are currently the Underground Throwdown champions.
Yes.
Still, hopefully. Well, I guess I shouldn't.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that. We have a show coming up.
Yeah, so we got to watch out. We can't say too much. But you guys work really well together. We'll keep all of the all this show stuff out of it. But how is that going so far? What are you digging about that? What do you love about it, you know?
Just really like working with a group of people that it feels safe, and we've done a lot of work with our coaches, with Christian and Juliet, about making it safe and making it so that we trust each other, and so we just always feel like no matter what, we've got each other's backs, and that's kind of what I like about improv, is that, I don't know, there shouldn't be any egos.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
There should not be any egos. Yeah.
And so,
Yeah. Group mind, togetherness, absolutely. Because we're all a little bit odd in our own ways, and it's a great way for us to all come together and have fun. We're adults and we make stuff up, you know, like it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So how has that helped you in life? How do you, so far with taking the classes and being on the team, is it transposed over at all, or is it?
Well, I obviously use it in my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the way that I teach language is through storytelling, and so all of it is pretty much improv. Like if I'm talking about, there's a boy, what's the boy's name? I mean, it's very come and go and whatever. And so we tell the story. So I use it there. I also co-coached the improv team at my high school.
Cool. How would that go? What was that like?
It was not the greatest year because the people that were on the team were way overbooked. And so getting the team together to practice was a nightmare.
Sure.
So we'll try again next year.
Good. Yeah. Give another go around.
Yeah. And then beyond like real stuff, I feel like it's just given me personally an outlet, because I'm not a drawer, I'm not a writer, I'm not any of that stuff.
Musician.
I'm not a musician.
Yeah.
So it just gives me an outlet for creativity and opened up my friendship world.
Awesome. Yeah. You've made friends from this, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. You guys hang out outside. You do fun activities. Is there like a story maybe or something you can tell us that you guys remember, like maybe before a show or after a show, or like we used to hang out and do like game night, you know?
We did do a couple game nights at my house, which were really fun.
Yeah.
But no, it's just, you know, drinking before, after.
Mm-hmm.
We decided that we needed to give Chris a ball tap before every show.
Get out. You guys all ball tap him?
Yeah. Well, RC's are a little more
RC's
forceful.
Are more of a punch tap.
Yeah.
Ball punch. Wow.
Yeah.
Why? What's this? It's just like it happened?
I don't remember. I think Chris actually offered it up.
Oh, my God.
So, connect the dots however you want to.
Had I known beforehand, that would have been.
I think he said, this has been good luck for our class. What do you call it?
Class
showcases
shows.
Before.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you guys want to, maybe it would help us with Underground Throwdown. And we were willing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw your guys' first under. I cheered, I think, the loudest.
I heard
when you guys won. I was super excited because...
I was the negative Nancy who thought it was not going to happen.
Oh my God, you guys killed it. It was so much fun to watch you guys perform. And I saw the second one also. And I was just like, ugh, yeah. So be confident. You guys are a good group and you're all really talented individuals and funny. And
thank you.
Man, just solid work. So keep it going.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So I actually kind of want to jump around a little bit now and talk a little bit more about your traveling. You said you'd been also to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
What was that experience like?
Okay, so I said I didn't travel very much when I was living in France.
Mm-hmm.
Because my roommate and I, who was American, bad idea.
Oh.
Don't hang out with the Americans when you're in a foreign country.
Sure.
Okay? We spent probably 6 nights a week at a bar.
Really?
Yeah. The same bar.
Huh.
Yeah. Lame. Lame.
That's
where,
did, like...
Well, that's where our money went.
Yeah.
And we couldn't go anywhere because we might miss out on, you know, the weekend party. It was totally pathetic. But the bar was an Australian bar and they were giving away a trip to Sydney.
Wow. And so that's how you...
Yeah.
Get out! That's so cool!
Yeah.
Oh my
God. We think they might have rigged it. But we're not sure to this day. We think they might have rigged it like, oh, they're good customers. We don't want to go to somebody who just showed up one night.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, we went to Sydney, and we were very poor, and we stayed in hostels, and there were huge bugs, and...
What kind of bugs?
Oh, you know, like spiders and things with, like...
Is it really that, like, wildernessy in Sydney, or is it, like...
We were right on the beach. Like, okay. We got a hostel that was pretty much right on the beach because that's what we wanted to do, and we didn't have a lot of money for travel and whatever, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Freaky.
Yeah.
But most hostels aren't, like, super clean anyways.
I've never stayed in one, so, I would not... I've never done that. I've always been the hotel person, I guess, or whatever. I'm very snooty. I stay at fine boutique hotels.
Of course.
I would love to do that. I want to backpack throughout Europe and do the hostel thing. I'm very open to it. I've just never done it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's really great. A little terrifying, it seems like, in Australia. Well, through bugs and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole new term, or meaning to bed bugs right there. It's like...
Turn off the lights and you're like, I hope nothing crawls up me. But we spent a lot of time on the beach and then took a bus up to Byron Bay. We were on Bondi Beach and then we took up to Byron Bay, which is like a little bit smaller.
You just got an Australian accent when you said
that.
Yeah, did you hear that? That was Byron Bay.
And we went on the hippie bus. So, like, from Sydney to Byron Bay, they stopped at, like, the little hippie village where so many people were on weed that they couldn't arrest anybody.
Get out. No. Is it illegal there?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess I never really paid attention to, like,
laws.
Well, at least
it was at the time. I don't know what's going on now.
I guess it must still be because not very many countries have legalized it other than, like, Uruguay, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they were like, hey, here you go. And so we would go and we would, you know, go shopping in these shops and be like, look at this beautiful dress. And they have some wonderful marijuana brownies.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so great. So you're just kind of like listfully like making your way through this tour.
Yeah, we were just kind of walking through. They said that they had coffee shops that we could go and we just went shopping. My friend partook. I did not partake.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Cool.
Teacher and all that.
Right. Yeah. Very, very particular about that.
Yes.
And then you said you also been to Brazil, right? That's
yes.
cool. Where at specifically?
Rio.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was a senior, we had a foreign exchange student from, not my family, but my school from Rio. And she and I hit it off. And so that was my graduation gift, was I went down to Rio and stayed with her and her family. I think I'm remembering this correctly. It's been a few years, but her neighborhood and the beach was called Ipanema, like because the beaches are Ipanema and Copacabana and all those songs that you hear about. And so, like her little apartment, which was not that little, and they were super rich because they lived, in the mountains, looking over the beach.
Very fancy.
And like monkeys flying in the little rainforest. What? Oh, yeah. I have so many pictures right out her balcony. They would come up and you could feed them.
I love monkeys.
They were like squirrels.
Yeah, they kind of are like the squirrels of South America. I love monkeys. Yeah. That's so cool.
I spent a couple weeks there and then came back.
Cool. Wow. Anywhere else in the world that you've been?
I'm
going to put where in the world has best been. Yeah,
Canada,
right?
Mexico, France, England, not Ireland, Spain, Germany, Switzerland. I haven't been anywhere in Africa. I had a layover in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on my way to Australia, but that's it.
Oh my gosh, that's so great. I want to be a world traveler so bad.
Me too, but I have children now.
Right?
I know.
Man. If you could do it all over again.
I wouldn't do anything differently.
Just kidding, kids. Yeah, definitely. But you got those great experiences in. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So, to switch it up again, what right now are you, what's your passion? What are you doing? I mean, you know, your improv is one thing, but I mean, like, what else are you doing? Is there any other projects, any things you want to do? You know, like, what's got your interest right now?
Yeah. Pretty much improv is my extracurricular. Mm-hmm. Then the rest is teaching and family.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going to a lot of concerts lately. It seems like. Well, I just saw Ben Folds twice in the last week.
Isn't Ben Folds great?
He's my favorite. I've seen him like 30 times in concert.
I've seen him twice in every.
I've seen him in 6 different states.
Did he do the Brown Note with you? Have you ever seen that show? The Brown Note? No, he did this thing where it was at a show and it was just Ben Folds and then the two other guys before they broke up the five and then got back together and whatnot. But he came out and he's like, guys, there's this note that if I play will make you shit your pants, and we're like, nah, and he's like, no, it's gonna happen. I'm not gonna tell you when it's gonna happen. We're gonna do it, and it was this running gag throughout the entire show. It was a 2-hour show, yeah. And he did this thing, and then by the end of it, they were in one of the songs, and I think, oh God, I might have been Rocking the Suburbs, and he went over, and everything stopped, and he went, and it was supposed to be this super low bass note that made you rattle your bowels and shit your pants, and he went over to his microphone, and he was like, everybody okay? It was so funny. I did not shit my pants.
You didn't?
No.
Are you sure?
No, but I have shit my pants many other times as an adult. Just not that moment. Maybe a little, like a little speck. Yeah, like a little particles.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
Yeah. But I love Ben Folds. So.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played with the Kansas City Symphony.
Yeah.
And he wrote a piano concerto and performed the last two movements for us, like with the whole symphony. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Love him.
Cool.
Saw Arcade Fire.
Love those guys.
Another amazing concert.
Jeez.
Saw Billy Joel for free in Las Vegas.
What?
I don't know.
Billy Joel?
I've got to be doing something right in life because.
You're seeing all these great shows.
I don't know.
I agree. This is awesome. Doesn't it feel good whenever you feel like things are just going your way?
Yeah, it does. Just keep waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Oh, definitely. That's awesome. Cool. Anybody else or any other plans to see any of the shows? Or?
We're going to go see Glass Animals next month.
Yeah. I wanted to go to that show.
But, it's sold out. And then they had another
so busy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like, I can't. I haven't been to any shows this year.
Yeah.
I think I went to Panic at the Disco was one of them. And I think I went to Fall Out Boy because I'm a big pop punk guy. That's what I grew up with. And and then that's pretty much been it. And I used to go to a lot of concerts.
I know, me too.
I went to Bonnaroo a couple years. Gosh, that was so great. Yeah. But I love music. It's a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, awesome. That's cool. Have you ever wanted to perform or play or do any endeavors in it?
I did want to. I got a bass guitar for Christmas one year, and I could never figure out how to tune it. So that just kind of fell by the wayside.
Thing.
Yeah.
I got a regular 5-string guitar, and I was like, I'm going to learn tab. You ever trying to learn tab at all?
You didn't get past the only thing tuning. I learned was the blues riff that was like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. I got the bam, 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 bam.
So silly. I was like, I'm a real rock star now, guys.
No, I didn't even get that far. I did not even get that far. It was awful.
That's really funny. Oh, my gosh. Cool. We're getting close to the end here. I know it's, I can't believe it. It feels like, it's just been so much fun. Well, I'm going to do this little bit that I like to have the guest ask me questions about myself or whatever it is. Anything at all. It could be life-related, improv-related, about anything that we've talked about, something we haven't talked about. Yeah, one question, multiple questions, shoot it out there. Yeah.
Why did you want to be a teacher?
That is a great question. I wanted to be a teacher so I could be with a girl. Yeah, right?
That makes sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I had this bad habit of following relationships to the next thing that I wanted to do. So, like, I went to KU and I followed a girl there, and I went to UMKC and I followed a girl there, and I was like, look, we'll be in the teaching program together and we'll have this. Here's what it is. I make this cookie cutter lifestyle out for my future where I'm just like, okay, we'll do this thing together, and then it'll lead to this moment together, and then we'll do this thing together. I no longer am like that. Yeah, right? Thank you. I've moved on. I've grown up a lot. But I realized then when I was into it that I loved providing knowledge to anyone who would listen to me. Imparting what I know to them is so just like, I don't know, like it's like I'm a shedding, I don't know, it's like a shedding of knowledge that you keep alive, you know? I really feel like we pass a lot of our knowledge through storytelling, and that's really what it is. Like, when kids remember something that you taught them, it's because you told them a story.
The way I teach. Yay!
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I feel like it's the only way I ever learn anything other than what I'm teaching myself or going on, you know, like mm-hmm. these weird Wikipedia searches and just being like, give me information. And of course, I'm using Wikipedia, so it's like I have to kind of decipher what I'm really taking in. Once I got into it, I realized that I loved it because of the passion that I had for knowledge. And that's what it was. Unfortunately, things didn't work out, and I tried really hard to get a job. I applied at lots of different districts, and I don't know what it was. No one ever wanted to hire me as a teacher. I was really liked by the students that I had. I substitute taught for 5 years, and it just never worked out. So that's okay, though. I mean, I'm doing what I love to do, and it's led me to so many great other opportunities, and I teach improv. Now. Yeah. So that right there alone is really kind of what was setting myself up for a more fulfilling endeavor in what I... Taking two passions and putting them together. So, yeah. How was that one?
Very good, very good.
Yeah. Any other questions?
How about, what is your favorite drink to make behind the bar?
That's a good question, too, because I don't really drink a lot of mixed drinks or, you know, get behind the bar very often, but I'm going to say Sex on the Beach.
Oh,
I like girly drinks. I like them. I like those.
I didn't say you had to drink it.
Yeah, okay. No, I don't know. I did, at one point when I was in college, have a knack for wanting to make drinks, and I got like a big chart of all the drinks. And my buddies, we all did this, and we went out and bought every type of liquor that you could buy, spent tons of money on alcohol just to make it one time to taste it, and then it would turn out to be terrible, and we would never make it again, and we'd have this bottle of, you know, like Midori, which...
Oh, that's a panty dropper.
Yeah.
Right there.
Right there. Yeah. I drink Midori. Yeah.
Well, but you could use it. Yeah. I'm sure it got used.
So, oh no, it got used. It was college. But I always made a mean Sex on the Beach. So, right. Ladies, gentlemen, anybody who's interested, hit me up. Mm-hmm. A little Sex on the Beach. Bess, we've come to the end, and I gotta say, this is the sad times, but the best times, because I've learned so much about you.
Yeah, yikes.
And, wow, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
No problem.
Yeah, I hope that you have continued success with teaching and this morning birthday party and all the things that you do in life. So, thank you so much. Thanks to Dale for helping us out. Everything's so great when he helps us get all this tech side of it. So, 'cause I don't know what the hell's going on most of the time, so... He's a great guy. And thank you guys for watching the show. You're awesome. You know, whoever you are and wherever you are, get to know your friends, guys, because it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. So thanks a lot. Bye.